I'm Lynn Scherr in with Todd Zwillick for John Hockenberry. Hillary goes to the Supreme Court today. That's Hillary the movie, a sort of documentary film that describes the former First Lady in a very negative light. And today's hearing might become a precedent-setting case with the power to change campaign finance laws in a way that hasn't happened in 100 years. In case you missed it, here is a clip from the flick with Dick Morris, a former Clinton advisor.
You know, a lot of people ask me, do we have to go through all these old Clinton scandals again? Well, I have good news for you. You don't, because you can look at the new ones, because Hillary Clinton scandals are a gift that keeps on giving.
Okay, so what does a movie have to do with campaign finance? And why is this case being brought for the second time before the Supreme Court? How might it change the law books? Joining us now are Adam Liptak and Nate Persily. Adam Liptak is the Supreme Court correspondent for our partner, The New York Times. And Nate Persily, a law professor at Columbia University. He is author of the book Public Opinion and Constitutional Controversy. Welcome to both of you. And Adam, let me start with you. How might this movie change campaign finance?
The Supreme Court has set down this case for re-argument, quite unusual in itself, and asked the parties to brief the question of whether a key precedent that allows the government to regulate corporate spending on campaigns, whether that precedent should be overturned. And if it is, we're going to see a radical change in the way American politics is conducted, because corporations will be free to spend money on ads and other broadcast communications supporting or opposing political candidates.
Nate Persily, this case was first heard before the Supreme Court last March. Why are they rehearing it, and how significant is that?
Well, as Adam said, it's unusual for them to do this. They've only done it a few times in recent history. And I think that the reason they're doing so is that the government, when it defended the law, seemed to suggest sort of radical powers on the part of government, for example, to ban corporate books. And that, I think, triggered among some of the justices maybe a willingness to revisit the more fundamental questions as to whether corporations have First Amendment rights to advocate for the election or defeat of candidates. I think that the Roberts Court has been relatively incremental when it comes to all of the campaign finance laws that it has struck down, and it has struck down every law that it has visited during its short tenure dealing with campaign finance. But I think maybe now they're willing to go a little bit further and have a much more broad precedent.
Adam Liptak, let's sort this out for listeners, because it is confusing. The ruling would make it possible for more of these kinds of films to be out there. Is that correct?
That's correct, but really the film, it would be quite easy for the court to protect this 90-minute documentary. The case really now is not about 90-minute documentaries, it's about 30-second ads. And the question is whether the 2002 McCain-Feingold campaign finance law, which prohibits the broadcast of some so-called electioneering communications right before elections, whether that's constitutional or not. And if the court were to rule in favor of this movie broadly, it would also be ruling that corporations are free to put up ads supporting or opposing candidates. And given the size of corporate treasuries, that could really alter the political landscape.
And that would be very much counter to what McCain-Feingold was all about, correct?
It would in fact not only be counter to, but it would be striking down at least part of McCain-Feingold. That's right.
One of the things that's happened with this film and this case is the very curious lineup of liberals and conservatives and which side of the issue they're on. Talk about that a little bit, Adam.
Well, it used to be a generation ago that the typical liberal would be a First Amendment absolutist and would say, the First Amendment is about protecting political speech. The core of the First Amendment is about making sure that people can listen to arguments about political speech, and this is surely that, whatever else Hillary the movie is. It's political speech. As time has gone on, the left has become divided, and a significant, probably overwhelming part of the left now believes that it's more important to protect the level playing field in political discourse and not to allow one side or the other with the most money to overwhelm the conversation.
So the issue of free speech has gotten caught up in the issue of who gets to finance these things.
Right. So on the one hand, you have the First Amendment. On the other hand, you have an interest in protecting democracy itself.
Nate Persily, let's talk about the court for a second. I want to say to you, how are they going to vote? I know you don't know for sure how they're going to vote, but what is going to happen, do you think, in this case?
Well, I think they're going to find in favor of the appellants, those people who produced the Hillary the movie. The question is how broad the relief is going to be. As Adam said, there's all kinds of ways they could avoid the broader issues in this case. And they could say, for example, that whatever McCain-Feingold was about, it wasn't about a 90-minute documentary that you could view on demand. Or they could say Citizens United, the group that made this movie, is not like General Motors, so that we don't really have to worry about them using their immense aggregations of wealth to sort of affect elections. My guess is that it's really up to Chief Justice Roberts. This is one of those rare instances where he might be the swing vote, and he's going to decide how broad a decision he wants.
Give me the worst-case scenario from the point of view of, say, the liberals or whichever side they're now on in terms of it's been mentioned books could be banned depending on the ruling.
Well, Congress would have to pass a law banning books, and we're a long way from there. So the Supreme Court's not going to give anyone the right to ban books. But the government has said that Congress, at least hypothetically, theoretically, could do that, that there's no distinction in principle between Hillary the movie and Hillary the book. The worst-case scenario, I think, on the other side for a lot of people would be the notion that, say, in the current health care debate, Big Pharma sits down across from a senator, and that senator feels like he's talking to someone with a loaded gun because that company could put up $10 million of ads against them in the next election if the senator doesn't vote the way the company wants him to.
Adam Liptak, you've actually seen the film. Is this the sort of thing that we want in our campaigns?
It's a polemical, relentlessly critical look at Hillary Clinton. It's not out of keeping with the sort of thing that, since the founding of the Republic, we've seen in the political discourse. It's caustic, and it's a little hard to know how to distinguish it from the kinds of political speech that not too long ago there was a general consensus ought to be protected.
So the takeaway is this is a big case before the Supreme Court, could change the law. Adam Liptak from The Times, Nate Persily from Columbia, thanks so much for joining us.